Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Lisa McNeely, your host for Spotlight on Recruiting. I am sure many of our listeners have heard of companies that are rated best places to work. Have you ever wondered why or how they get rated a best place to work? Well, today we're diving into that, and one of the main reasons is because of employee engagement. And I'm excited to have an expert on employee engagement with us today. And our leading lady is Lori Bowden. So, Lori, hello.
Hello. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm going to just tell you a little bit how awesome Lori is. So Lori has over 20 years professional experience, including leading an employee engagement for the past 7 years with a Fortune 100 organization. That organization was recognized earlier this year as one of Fortune's top 10 best places to work. So congratulations on that. And I have to say, much of this recognition, you know, comes directly from her leadership in driving effective employee engagement. So congratulations, Lori. That's awesome.
Well, thanks. I'm going to have to replay that every morning when I wake up, because it's a you're a booster. You make me feel better than I think I am. Thanks, Lisa.
No, that's not even true. Not even true. So so I think first, you know, just to start off, is it's important for our listeners to understand what employee engagement is and what it's not. I think there, you know, Lori and I have had some, you know, had a previous conversation before our show. And I think, you know, there was some, you know, sometimes people think employee engagement is just one big party. And that's truly not the case. So, Lori, can you just really just tell our listeners what is employee engagement?
You know, I'm going to remind, when you were in kindergarten and your teacher asked you to draw that picture of yourself, what you were going to be when you grew up, you excitedly took out the crayons from under your desk. You drew a picture of yourself. And maybe it was a nurse, a policeman. You were excited to do that job. You looked at that picture every single day, and was something that you wanted to do. So it is engaged employees possess that love and enthusiasm for their company and what they do. They are the employees who think like owners. You know, there's really three levels of engagement. I saw a sandwich analogy, and I thought it worked. It was spot on. Imagine that sandwich with three kinds of meat, lettuce, tomatoes, cheese, all the fixings. That's an engaged employee. They work with passion, and they feel a profound connection to the company. They're the ones that drive innovation, and they move your organization forward. They're excited to go to work every day. The second level is probably even less than a plain sandwich. It's like a piece of bread. They're not engaged. They're checked out. They go to work. They're sleepwalking through the day. They're putting in the time, but not the energy into their work. That last level of engagement, it's like a burnt piece of bread. You could punch some holes in that burnt piece of bread. They're really disengaged employees. They're just not happy at all at work. And unfortunately, they're the ones that are busy acting out their unhappiness to other employees, the toxic employees, the ones that, you know, bring the organization down.
I love that. I love that analogy. I think that's really amazing. And I think that, I mean, you know, unfortunately, I think there's many times that, you know, employees or even myself that I felt that way, where I kind of feel like I'm just kind of sleepwalking through my day, and I show up to work and say, oh my gosh, it's just another day doing the same thing that I did yesterday, kind of like that Groundhog Day over and over and over again. So I think that's a perfect analogy of engagement. So Lori, why, I mean, the analogy is great because I understand, like, say, hey, you don't want people sleepwalking, you don't want toxic employees, but, you know, truly, truly, why is employee engagement important?
You know, me as an employee, I want to enjoy, just as you said, I don't want people to come to work every single day and it's just another day. They need to enjoy the work they do. And actually, employers, when you have an engaged employee, it increases productivity. People stay at the job, greater retention, lower costs. And it's really the biggest thing. It's you're creating a culture that those competitors crave. Because it moves the organization forward where your competitors are kind of stuck in a rut.
Well, I think that, I mean, and from a recruiting standpoint, it makes my job that much easier to be able to recruit for a company that when I'm talking to my candidates or prospective, you know, employees, to say, hey, here's the culture, and they're innovating and they're being profitable, and in comparison to, you know, what their competitors are doing. I think I had read, you know, because you had talked about like profitability, and I had read a Gallup report that said, you know, that engaged employees increase profitability by 21%. And then as far as turnover, and again, this is a great from a recruiting piece because when we recruit employees, we want them to retain those employees. And I think an engaged team was about like 59% less turnover if employees are engaged. And I think, you know, when you put a dollar amount to that, it's something that I had read, but it said, you know, that companies who struggle with disengaged employees, it results in $483 to $605 billion lost in productivity for U.S. companies every year. And I was like so surprised with that number. I mean, that's a huge number. And I would think, you know, given the ROI that, you know, many companies would really want to invest in employee engagement. And in the same study that, or, you know, the same article I was reading, they surveyed, you know, some of the executives across the U.S. And only 17% said that they were actually had increasing employee engagement was a top priority. And that really surprised me. Does that surprise you at all?
You know, it's not surprising. A lot of employers, even our leaders, they think they need to have a big dollar budget for employee engagement strategy. And really, it's like you said, it's not about the party. It's about that. It's that leader-employee interaction, the sincerity, not the budget piece.
Well, and I know that when you kind of talk back to the party, because I know that, you know, one of our previous conversations, but, you know, many organizations, when they think about employee engagement, it's, you know, oh, you know what, it's I'm going to add a ping pong table and I'm going to give free lunch and, you know, we're going to have, Friday happy hours, which I think, you know, not to say that employees don't really like that. I mean, we do like that. But I think it's not necessarily about all the perks. And also, I mean, you can tell me if I'm wrong on this, but I think another thing is it's not necessarily always about the money either. And again, I'm not saying that employees don't like these things, but they don't automatically equate to higher employee engagement. I think, those are just the myths are out there.
Yeah, no, you're spot on. If you have the money to buy a pool table, great, invest in the pool table. Know though that not everyone plays pool, so you may have 20% of your population that even go to the pool table. It is a great networking piece. People come together and they can chat and talk about projects, but you may have that person that just doesn't know how to play pool, and it's a disengager. Be aware of that, I suppose.
Yeah, like me. I'm terrible at it. So, yeah, that would not be the place I was hanging out. So.
Right. I wanted to, when you're talking about money and purchasing things, I was thinking about a case study. It was a nonprofit out of New York, and it was a CEO. He watched talented employees right and left leaving the company. And for those who stayed, they were discouraged with all the organizational changes that were coming up. They were stressed because they were doing more with less people. The nonprofit put together a survey and sent it out. And then the CEO put together this team of employees to create this strategy based on those survey results to improve their culture. When the team came back to the CEO, the first suggestion that they had for him was to share the survey scores and publicly commit to improving them. They held networking activities for employees to get to know each other, so not around a pool table. It was just bringing people together, like lunch and learns, where you bring your staff lunch to this meeting to get to know each other. And there's so many different icebreakers out there. You can Google icebreakers and come up with many that are no cost. And then lastly, the leaders presented development topics to their teams. So the next year when they took the survey again, internal communication, better access to the CEO and other leaders, professional development all ranked higher. So executed correctly, both the employee and the employer can benefit in many areas, not just around that pool table.
That's awesome. And I love that it's really, I mean, kind of listening to your employees, right? And then acting on it. And I think that when you talk about, you know, the development piece, again, it was, I did some research just, you know, before we had our show, and one of the things that they had talked about was like development opportunities. And I think that for all of us in our roles, you know, we continue to want to develop, whether that be through a mentor or through education or something. But I think just as a human being, you're always wanting to try and develop and be better. And so I think that's, you know, really, that's awesome. So, Lori, as an employer, if I'm looking at this, where do I begin? Where should I start?
Have you ever heard of the hierarchy of needs theory back in school? I don't know. Abraham Maslow put it together.
It's the pyramid.
It's a theory that there is a hierarchy of 5 needs for human beings. And they do put it in the pyramid. The needs that are lower down on the pyramid should be satisfied to a certain degree before individuals can focus to the needs that are higher up. So you can apply that to employee engagement. So at the bottom of the pyramid, there are the physiological needs, basic needs like water, food, clothing. Applied to employee engagement, that's like your paycheck, the basic equipment you need to do your job. Maybe it's a desk, a chair, a computer, for example. Next, moving up the pyramid, you have the safety needs. These are shelter, so a safe work environment. Something you're safe physically and emotionally at work. Then you have the social needs. These are the friendships that you make, feeling part of the team. Then comes the esteem needs, self-esteem, confidence. You get recognized by your peers and your leaders. And finally, at the top of that pyramid is he calls it self-actualization needs. These are the needs for growth, as you talked about. So promotions, advanced training. Based on the theory, in order to improve morale, management should ensure those lower level needs are satisfied before investing money, time on a strategy that would be applied to the higher levels of the pyramid. So just make sure those base needs are met. The best way an employer can determine if those base needs are met is by listening to employees, as you mentioned. It could be done through leaders. It could be done through meetings. It could be done through surveys. You want to make sure your surveys are open-ended, though, and you don't want to focus on a particular aspect, because if you're thinking, oh, it's employee development, I mean, we need more employee development, and you're focusing on that, you may mask the larger issue and cause employee engagement to decrease, actually, over time. So just making sure those questions are open-ended, and most importantly, listen to why employees are happy.
That's good. I think that's really good. And I think that, and, you know, for any of our listeners that are out there, I mean, you can really, I know that there's employee feedback software, you know, but like you can purchase, or you can purchase like behavior or surveys as well, where they'll come in and give you all the questions. But there's also other resources out there where you can find some questions. And I think, you know, you'd already kind of said this, it's listening to your employees, whether that's like a one-to-one meeting that you're having once a week, maybe, or it's for recruitment, it's, you know, those exit interviews. And that's one of the things that when we have, you know, a lot of turnover is we go to our leaders and say, okay, why are people leaving? You know, at when they're leaving, we need to be doing exit interviews and find out, you know, what's causing them to go take that other job or, you know, whatever that may be. So I think, you know, what you're saying is, like, you know, you really just need to listen to your employees, and going back, you don't have to spend a lot of money to do it, but there are tools out there that are available to you. Lori, so this environment, because, you know, everything is a little bit different now and we have a lot of work from home and a virtual environment. And some of the things that I'm getting from my leaders is, you know, they've never had teams that have worked from a virtual type environment before. So can you give us just some, you know, some ideas on how companies should engage employees in this virtual environment? And I know for you, you kind of have a hybrid because you do have some essential workers in your office, and then you also have virtual office employees as well. So, I mean, that makes it probably even a little bit more difficult, or maybe it doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It does, because you don't want people that are working from home or people that are working in the office to feel left out, vice versa. You don't want either party, I guess, to feel left out because they're not in the office and they're maybe missing on things that are happening in the office or not getting. Sometimes people feel like they need that exposure. They need to be seen working. And this whole new environment is definitely changed that level of thinking. You know, right now, I think communication is probably the biggest key, and executive sponsorship in promoting some of the programs that you can offer. Communication, it would probably be a whole nother radio show because it's complex. A lot of people don't like to communicate because they're uncomfortable with messiness. Even if you don't have all the answers, I would encourage conversation, be approachable, deliver that bad news. Even with the most recent turn of events, reinforcing that sense of belonging. You may know, oh, we have a sense of belonging in our culture, but reemphasizing or reinforcing that is so important. If you don't communicate, employees tend to feel like leadership, they don't care, and they begin to fill in the gaps with their own ideas, right or wrong, and then that's where the rumor mill starts. So communication is probably the biggest. You can still use multiple channels, whether it's through email, it could be text, team meetings, like you mentioned, maybe it's videos. Those one-on-one meetings with the leader and the employee, really picking up the phone and calling someone to say, how are you doing? When we do engagement events right now, we connect the dots for people. What are the reasons we're doing and what are the benefits? What are the impacts to them and their role? We want to try and build trust, improve morale, gain support, and help our employees feel that they're valued part of the organization. When COVID-19 first happened, we put together an internal task force, and we said, okay, what do we need? What do our colleagues need? What do we need to equip them with to do their job? And at the same time, keep them informed on how COVID-19 was impacting the business. So employees were number one, but also letting them know, how is this impacting the business and how is this impacting you? We had a one-stop shop on our company site where colleagues could access the information. It had weekly videos. We hold more town halls now, so keeping in contact, constant contact, and letting people know, because as you know, I mean, the environment keeps changing. It was up, it was down. Our focus now is returning to office. What is the strategy in returning to office?
I think that's amazing. And I think that, you know, and I just know from like one of the leaders that I work with, one of the issues that they were having was their HR was just getting inundated with phone calls, and their just from their employees that were kind of working out from home because they were, you know, constantly wanted, you know, they had questions. And the leader had said, my HR is just overwhelmed and we're just not sure what to do. And that was one of the things, you know, we had talked about is do they have like a one source that they can go to for those common Q&As? And then, you know, your HR, whoever, is it your HR person who needs to be answering these questions? Or can you have, you know, someone who's great at project work be kind of the point person, you know, that's keeping track of everything? So I think that's a great idea to have. You know, I guess size of company makes a difference too, but just a place where people can go to be informed. So I like that. I love that.
I think even Google Docs, like there's so many platforms that you can use that even if you don't have a company site, if use Google Docs or FaceTime for videos. Like there's just so many. Luckily, their technology is at a point where we're lucky that it is at a point that this didn't, you know, happen years ago. I guess it did happen years ago with the Spanish flu, but.
Right. Yeah. And so, and they had, you know, that obviously very different because they have the technology we have now. So we should be grateful for that. So I guess, can you elaborate just, you know, on a few programs that have helped drive your employee engagement?
Sure. I think you have to remember that we have a diversity of employees. So we have to offer a diversity of programs. So not everyone is going to participate in the program. So when I put together some programs, we always look to see how many people are looking at them. So because that's how we do our ROI, basically. So when COVID first hit, you know, the stock market plummeted. So we talk a lot about financial 401ks, how to invest, you know, how to save money, how to not change your stocks because there's this ebb and flow. So making sure people understand the 401k, just kind of a re-educating on that. We are doing community services projects, virtual projects. There's a lot of mentoring that's going on. And as the schools begin to pick up again, more mentoring will be available. We had one recently with Project Sunshine. These are pediatric patients. They're not letting their parents go into the room with these kids. They're only letting one, and they're limiting the amount. So as a kid who is in a hospital, they are looking for activities. So we were able to have our colleagues who are artistic draw up some activity pages or word searches. We do sustainability projects as well. Earth Week happened during the whole pandemic, so we came up with a virtual Earth Week bingo. I think you just have to get creative with maybe what you were doing and how can we change it up to make it still fun. We offer online courses. We're addressing mind, body, spirit with so healthy living activities, having guest speakers come on and talk for 20 minutes, similar to this, you know, trying to improve people or improve their thinking. We're doing like 15-minute daily workouts. You can log on and do yoga, strength, cardio. You can even do some of those via YouTube, but we have instructors that we can do that. Virtual walking breaks, healthy eating, cooking demos. We're doing, you know, some social stuff, having some fun, getting to know colleagues. People are sending in pictures, so we're challenging people, send us a picture of your workspace, send us a picture of your dog. We've had colleagues that are doing dance videos, book clubs. I'm trying to think of all of them. Those are the top ones that come to mind, but we are doing quite a bit right now.
Yeah, that is a lot. And, you know, and the thing is I think, because you're a larger organization, right? Because you're a Fortune 100. So we all know that, you know, Fortune 100s are big organizations. But some of the things that you were saying, I have some clients that, you know, are small, like 50 people, and they're doing a lot of these same kind of things. So I think that this doesn't need to be just for large organizations. It can be for small organizations as well, because people are people and we like to connect, right? So I think, you know, and they have the kind of the same thing. I think they've blocked between, you know, 12:30 and 1:30. They've said, hey, we're having no meetings during this time because we want people to go get lunch, walk away from your desk, go take a walk. And then they also, if you want, you know, they have like a video, you know, they can all connect in and do like a group kind of workout or something like that. So I think, you know, size of organization, it doesn't matter your size. You know, I think you can do this with any size of organization. I know that we are, we don't have a whole lot of time, but, you know, I think that one thing, Lori, you had told me in our previous conversations is it's, and you kind of talked to it already, but it was like having a diversity of offerings because not everyone is going to participate in every program. Kind of like we said, the pool table, not everybody plays pool. And I think that's, you know, one thing. So can you just kind of talk really quickly to that and how an organization versus being kind of one-minded, but they can be have more of a diversity?
Well, listening to the colleagues is key. I mean, what is it that your colleagues want? I think some ideas are corporate social responsibility. So not everyone has the time to volunteer, but do you have a way that you can do a match or let them make it available to them so that they can give money to organizations if they can't spend time. Make sure they have a comfortable work environment. Do they have a good leader? If not, let's make sure your leaders are sending the right messages, that you're providing the right training and training for your colleagues or your employees too. Projects that make them feel like they're making a difference for the organization. And I think lastly, a good recognition program. Writing a thank you is very simple and making sure it's direct, it's sincere. What are you thanking them for? Not thank you for doing great work, really being specific on what they did and how it helped the organization, how it helped another colleague, how it helped another. I think I said that.
Good. So, no, you're good. And I think, when we talked to you and I had said, you know, what are some of the things that like an employer, you know, just final advice that you would give to someone, what would it be?
It starts with the right mindset. And that mindset would include sincerity. Be sincere. People know when you're fake. So make sure you're sincere. Make a commitment. This is important to me. So I want to make a difference in my organization. So make a commitment to make that change and make an investment. It's not going to happen overnight. And I'm not just talking about money, but it's really your time. Invest in your employees' training and you will reap the benefits. You were talking about stats. The cost to replace an employee is 20% of their salary. So happiness is contagious. They'll motivate people around them if you can make your employees happy, you'll see results that are uncontrollable.
I love that. And you're right. I mean, you can't fake it, right? It's got to be something that's sincere. and I think that authenticity, I mean, we talk about that a lot. Authenticity is, you know, what everyone's looking for. That's awesome. So, Lori, thank you so much for being our leading lady today and sharing your insights. I want to send special thanks. Yeah, no, it was great to have you and you took the time. So I want to have a special thanks to all of our listeners, both U.S. in the U.S. and internationally. We'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio Show Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific. The next Spotlight I Am Recruiting episode will be on Monday, September 21st at 9 a.m. That specific time. And we'll be talking about videos. Something I think that's truly important during this time. Thanks, everyone, and have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Lisa.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business, executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.